At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I'm speaking with Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired aviator, writing for the National Review Online, about the last 2,000 years plus of sea power, the sea power states, beginning with Phoenicia, but certainly including Carthage against Rome and Great Britain against France. However, we're in the 21st century now, and all of those battles have been settled. The contest today is a staring contest across the Pacific and in the North Atlantic, with the Russian Federation conjoined with the rich and extremely aggressive People's Republic of China. Jerry, the Navy, what part is it now playing in these contests with China sortieing warships out of its yards and the Russians sortieing their submarine fleet in the north?
Well, the United States Navy is on the front line. Both China and Russia are continental powers. They're land powers. And what they wish to avoid is any type of a conflict or disturbance or competition that's going to occur on land. Both of those view land conflicts as destabilizing to their internal domestic security. And so even though these two powers, which have had a long history of conflict and competition between them, even though they are still have those conditions and share a long 1,000-mile border, they've sort of made a pseudo-peace between the two of them so that they can focus outward on what they view as the real danger to themselves, which is the West and the ideas of the West, whether it's free trade, the individual liberty, individual freedom. They do not want to see those ideas come into their nations and continue to destabilize their domestic politics. And so they have tried to grasp or claim greater swaths of the high seas as internal territorial waters. So what they've done is they've tried to offshore the competition into these areas of the global commons, whether that's air, space, cyberspace, but most importantly, the oceans, because they view the oceans as the place where they have a chance to sort of reclaim ascendancy there. So China's made claims over the South China Sea, and Russia has made claims against the Arctic Ocean in a means of creating additional buffer space to seal or wall themselves off from the West and the destabilizing ideas that come at it. So that's why the Navy today is particularly important, and why those two countries are investing so much in their own navies is they view them as creating this buffer space to help protect their own domestic security.
Once upon a time in the 1940s, we had 6,000 ships in the U.S. Navy. Today, your report is less than 300. You identify numbers that are necessary in order to maintain all of our responsibilities. We have allies that depend upon us. What is a magic number, Jerry, and how long will it take us to get there?
Well, the minimum number is 355, and John, you and I have been talking about that for a number of years now, going back to the Obama administration, but that's the bare minimum number. The real number is around 450 ships in the United States Navy, in order to be able to be in all the places that we need to be in a persistent basis. Now, not all those are aircraft carriers, and nor all of them are rowboats. It's a mixture of a number of ships, whether it's cruisers or destroyers or submarines in between, or frigates. But the other aspect of this that I talk about is the importance of investing in the other aspects of our naval or maritime economy. We need to not only build up our shipyards so we can build more Navy ships, we need to also invest in our shipyards to build merchant marine ships, because the Navy will need logistics support as it grows. It needs more oilers or resupply vessels. And so it's really, when I talk about that America has to become a sea power state again, it means that we need to build the Navy, the merchant marine, shipyards, and ship repair yards in order to be able to project ourselves all around the world in a persistent basis.
There is in Congress the Shipyard Act success, $25 billion. Is that a down payment or is that adequate to what you need, Jerry?
It's a down payment. Really, the economy could absorb between 25 to 40 billion. And this really gets at the shipyards, which is the four Navy shipyards that we have already in Kittery, Maine, at Norfolk, in Hawaii, and up in Puget Sound. Those are our four Navy shipyards. But there are also ship repair yards that are commercial. We have floating dry docks that are around the country right now that need investment and need some consistent work coming to them. Those types of investments would also allow them all to begin hiring workers so we can grow the workforce and gain back the experience, naval shipbuilding and repair workforce that this nation will need if things were to flash and go badly with China in the next 10 years, which is a warning that's come down, you know, from the outgoing Indo-Pacific regional commander at his retirement hearing with the Congress, that he feels that we could be at war over Taiwan within 6 years.
I mentioned that there is a report that China, the People's Republic of China, is investigating ports in West Africa. Mauritania and Namibia are mentioned. Do we have plans to deal with Chinese in the South Atlantic? Is there a way to refute this in some fashion, or is that completely new to us?
Well, the United States used to make significant investments in overseas bases where we would invest commercially in developing of ports and facilities and shipyards. But then in the 1980s, we sort of made a decision that we would invest in quote-unquote places, not bases, that we would let the commercial market decide, most efficiently where our money would go. Unfortunately, the Chinese are essentially getting in and making higher bids in so many of these shipyards, whether it's in western coast of Africa, or it's throughout South America. And what we're finding is that a lot of these ports that we used to count on as places where our ships could pull in are now being bought out and controlled economically by the Chinese. And you know, in a wartime scenario, if I wanted to make a port of call in a port that a Chinese company controls, chances are I'm not going to be able to pull in there. So I think we have to step back, and that's one of the points I make in this essay, is that we really need to sort of take an overall world view at these ports and facilities, and we need to sort of look at them strategically as to what the United States would need in its worst-case scenario. That's why I think that the nation has to make a decision to pivot towards a sea power strategy, that we've reached this point where we can no longer afford to be all things to all peoples, and we can no longer try to be both a continental power and a sea power. We need to make a decision that sea power is the way to the future and sort of align ourselves accordingly.
Conversation in Congress, is it turning on this matter? Are we a sea power or are we a continental power? Conversation at the DOD, are they talking about this, Jerry? Because I note that the new Secretary of Defense, I believe he comes from the Army side of this equation.
Well, I'm not sure that they use these terms, which is one of the reasons that I'm putting them out there, because I think they should become part of the conversation, part of the lexicon or shorthand. But I do know that up on Capitol Hill that there's a growing understanding that there's not, you know, money for everything, and so we have to make hard decisions. There is always a desire, or there's sort of a language that's come up since the 1980s, that we need a balanced joint force. And I think in many ways that sort of takes away from the hard decisions we need to make. If we try to do 30% to the Army, 30% to the Navy, 30% to the Air Force, we're no longer recognizing the world that we're in. We need to look at where the threat is, where the environment, where that threat is coming from, and then align our spending and our strategy accordingly. And again, I make the argument in both the essay and my recent book that the threat is in the maritime environment, and that's where we need to align resources and our strategic intent.
Jerry Hendricks, Captain Jerry Hendricks, U.S. Navy, aviator, retired, writing the National Review Online. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.